If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back to Macabre, a dark history podcast. A macabre feature on The Affair of the Poisons, Part 3, All the Venomous People. One night, Marie Boss, surrounded by friends and associates, had a little too much to drink. She had bragged about how rich she got by selling inheritance powders to those with high status. Her indiscretions and immodesty had been reported to Lieutenant General Gabriel Nicolas de la Reynie. Boss was swiftly arrested and tortured for information in the height of the poison ring investigations. It didn't take long for Marie to reveal a number of names in the Paris underground. The one name that stopped La Reynie in his tracks, that dripped off Marie Boss's tongue with hatred, was Catherine Lavoisin. He knew that name. She was in the inner circles of the aristocracy, circles that interlinked with the king. In February of 1677, the Affair of the Poisons officially began with the arrest of the fortune teller Magdalene de Lagrange. She was charged with forgery and murder. She appealed, claiming she had important information on other crimes related to the investigation. The accusations of attempted poisonings, murder, witchcraft, and other dealings in the macabre French underground had the Sun King commanding the police to round up as many alchemists, fortune tellers, magicians, and any other diviners they could find. La Reynie soon realized that this went deeper than any of them had anticipated. Many of them confessed under duress a select number of their clients. Some of these clients were in the royal court. Among this growing collective list of clients were alleged to have purchased poisons to get rid of their spouses or enemies. The interrogators weren't just looking for clients. They wanted the people facilitating the dark occupations as well, to find the culprits responsible for King Louis' fear. When they arrested Marie Boss for her drunken banter and claims of riches received by ill means, they didn't know what they were getting into. It didn't take long for Boss to point a finger at her rival, Lavoisin, pinning all of the blame for the poison network on her. When they searched Catherine's place of residence, the police knew this went deeper than a ring of poisoners. They arrested her, and just days later, arrested Adam Lesage. Lesage, along with other prisoners, stood by what Marie Boss had confessed. Catherine Lavoisin was more than a midwife and fortune teller. Orders were given not to torture Lavoisin like the others. They used her addiction to alcohol instead. They kept the drinks flowing to get as much information out of her as possible. At first, she didn't tell them anything valuable and denied all accusations against her. But eventually, she did concede. She gave up names and confessed aspects of her practice. La Reynie was astonished at the number of countesses, dukes, and duchesses that all relied on Catherine to resolve their dark wishes. The authorities needed more information from her. She was unwilling to give details. She had been tortured during her last interrogation, at which time she stated, "Paris is full of this kind of thing, and there is an infinite number of people engaged in this evil trade." When they pressured her for more information on client specifics, she only said, "A great number of persons of every sort of rank and condition addressed themselves to her to seek the death of, or find the means to, kill many people." Lavoisin never revealed her complete list of clients. She was afraid they would discover her plot to kill King Louis XIV. But that never surfaced during her questioning. While she did admit to some of the practices she dabbled in that were punishable by law, it wasn't enough to give her the death penalty. That is, until they found out about her abortions. Abortions were highly illegal in France. If one was found guilty of abortion, both the abortionist and the mother of the aborted fetus would be put to death. Catherine's accusers leaned heavily on this, and all of the accounts of clients requesting the service from her, and how there was evidence on her premises. Lavoisin knew this was her end. She was tried and convicted of witchcraft on February 17, 1680. She was sentenced to death by burning at the stake. Just 5 days later, she was taken to La Place de Grève, where she would be burned alive. On her way to the platform, she pushed a priest away. She attempted to push the hay piled around her away multiple times before finally succumbing to the flames. But her secrets did not perish with her on the pyre. It was clear to officials that they were dealing with more than just a group of conspiring revolutionists. This was an interwoven underworld that seemed more extensive than the catacombs. The special court, known as Chambre Ardente, which translates to burning court or burning chamber. This was a court of carefully appointed magistrates designed to judge cases of witchcraft and poisonings. Its proceedings were hidden from the public eye. They held court in the basement of the arsenal and even blocked out the windows with black curtains. The only light within the chamber were lit torches, thus giving the name Chambre Ardente. In this unique court, defendants that were found guilty of a capital offense could be subject to torture before their execution. This would be an order from the judge as a last attempt to obtain information in any way. In cases of serious suspicion of an individual, royal law would be sentenced, which means an individual could be tortured before receiving a guilty verdict. But a prisoner legally in this situation could only be tortured once unless further information was given. These sessions could not exceed 85 minutes. The means of torture varied in severity. The most common methods were boot torture and water torture. The boot torture consisted of the prisoner's legs and feet in a wooden mold where the wedges were driven into the sides. This would cause the mold to tighten, leading to the agony of crushed bones. In the case of water torture, the prisoner would be stretched naked over a short stool that was placed under the small of their back. Their hands and feet would be tied and pulled in opposite directions. They would be forced to swallow 3 pints of water, in more severe cases, an additional 4 jugs of water. This would cause the stomach to almost burst and nearly drown the subject. Catherine Lavoisin was subject to the boot torture before her death. People of every social level were arrested and tried in this court. The king demanded that they take every precaution necessary and to go as deeply into the public as needed to get to the epicenter of the black market. This means of torture proved to be ineffective by the end of the duration of the trials because only a small percentage confessed valuable information under duress. Despite this, King Louis ordered every measure taken, every connection questioned, which led to the arrest of Lavoisin's daughter, Marie-Marguerite Mauvoisin, and her two brothers on January 26, 1680. There was no buffer of protection for them now that their father had passed away the year prior from natural causes. Several weeks later, their mother was put to death after her trial in the Chambre Ardente. In July and August of the same year, Marguerite, feeling no hope after her mother's execution, made a confession. She revealed the sought-after complete list of clients, with a name that shocked everyone in its absurdity, Madame de Montespan. She explained the request for poison to murder the king and his mistress in a jealous rage, and that she'd participated in black masses. She also gave details on her mother's practices and the reality of her services. Her mother, Catherine Mauvoisin, used real infants in these black masses, and that for Montespan's requests alone, they needed 3 to 4 per sacrifice. No one would confess if these infants were alive or deceased before these masses, but it was confirmed that she used aborted infants for some of them. She had confessed a detailed incident, which was documented in La Reynie's notebook, which stated, "An altar had been set up in my mother's bedroom. The cross in place, the candles lit, a lady was stretched out, stark naked, on a mattress. Her legs dangled off one side of it, her head hanging down on the other, propped up on a pillow which had been placed on an upended chair. A linen cloth was folded on her stomach. The chalice reposed on her groin. Madame de Montespan arrived at 10 in the evening and did not leave until midnight. At another one of Madame Montespan's masses, I saw my mother bring in an infant, obviously premature, and place it in a basin over which the priest slit its throat, draining the blood into the chalice, where he consecrated the blood and the wafer, speaking the names of Madame Montespan and the king at the moment of the offertory. The body of the infant was incinerated in the garden oven, and the entrails taken the day next by my mother for distillation, along with the blood and the consecrated host, all of which was then poured into a glass vial which Madame de Montespan came by later to pick up and take away. The remains would be buried in her garden, and sometimes in cemeteries with the help of a priest. At the same time, Catherine's ex-lover, Adam Lesage, confessed in detail about the practices of Lavoisin, which matched Marguerite's testimony. Child sacrifices had taken place. A priest that was arrested that worked under Lavoisin confirmed this as well. Over 1,500 children were murdered by Lavoisin, but many believe the actual number to be over 2,000. Marguerite's confession was considered vital in the trials, and she was never charged personally for any of these crimes, only a witness. Once multiple witnesses confessed evidence that lined up with other accounts, it became horrifically clear that there was a significant number of aristocrats with a high level of power that were part of this dark underground movement. But once the details came out about the king's former lover, and her pleading for poison to kill him and his newfound interest in another woman, he called off the trials abruptly. He couldn't bear the truth. King Louis XIV never held Madame de Montespan in favor ever again. Madame de Maintenon replaced her as the official royal mistress. Montespan retired from court and spent the remaining years of her life in a convent where she devoted her life to charity work until her death in 1707. Louis XIV died on the 1st of September in 1715 of gangrene, shortly after the War of Spanish Succession. His eldest son and grandson preceded him in death, leaving his great-grandson to succeed him on the throne. The affair of the poisons was one of the most sensational cases of the 17th century. The trials that were held for the accused, known as the Chambre Ardente, held 210 sessions at the Arsenal in Paris, France. There were 442 suspects. 319 writs of arrest were issued. 36 people were sentenced to death. 23 exiled. Some of those who were accused ended their lives while imprisoned. Many of the accused were never brought to trial, but were imprisoned for life instead by the king with an issued warrant of arrest that had no right of appeal called lettre de cachette. Those involved in this case never regained their reputation and lost the statuses they held. This incident exposed a prominent black market, a dark underbelly of France that was riddled with the aristocracy. It was refinement turned into raw degradation of vices, affirmation of defects with the monarchy, inadequacies clothed in extravagant costumes. The scrutiny of the bourgeoisie increased after the trials, and it would only prove to rattle French society further, causing a string of events that would evolve into intense upheaval in the years to come, with the French Revolution just starting a century later. Thank you for listening to this special presentation and limited series on Macabre, a dark history podcast. Stay tuned for macabre features in the future, where together we will uncover the darkest parts of history.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.